Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary and Martha. This is probably one of our shortest gospel lessons. A complete story in just a small paragraph. But the wisdom within it is something that we as Christians can struggle with for a lifetime. The sister that Jesus chastised was the type of person that the church can't live without. The one who's thinking about what needs to get done. The one who gets it done. The one who picks up the pieces when others let go of their obligations. Where would the church be without Martha's? And yet, of the two sisters of the story, Martha is the one that Jesus says didn't get it. Mary chose the better part, says Jesus. Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus when he was present. Mary, who by all outward impressions was not the one serving Jesus. Personally, I think all of us who are able to gather here today on one of the hottest days of the year, a day defined by dew point, I think those of us who gather in church on a day like this, most of us have quite a bit of Martha in us. And maybe it's good for us to gather together in the unair-conditioned building and ask ourselves, are we here by sense of obligation to a duty? Or because we are so eager to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him, to learn from him, to let him feed us? Sometimes it's good for us just to examine our own hearts, our own motives. How can we tell, as we do ministry, if we are sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking up his grace, or if we're just doing for the sake of doing? Well, I think the first piece of good news is that if we're asking the question of ourselves, we're on the right track. I think maybe one way for us to look at this, and I'm going to use a little visual today, is to think about our Christian service in terms of a tripod. And I brought this here. Vince uses this for our little history sessions on Tuesday. We've had this tripod. Actually, he's had this tripod since high school. So it's sturdy. I mean, this thing is carried, you know, back in the day when video cameras weighed about 30 pounds. And now we just put a little camera on, a little digital camera on it to steady it. But the whole concept of a tripod is you need all three legs to make things work. And if you don't have all of the legs secured, you have an issue. So if I set this down and don't lock them all in place, you have a tripod that just kind of tips over. Not today. Still missing. But if you have all three legs secured, you've got a stable base. You set the camera there, and you're good to go. Well, I'm going to put three things on a base for us. Three questions to ask of our Christian service. As we're serving, we can ask ourselves, is this work from God? Is this work for God? And is this work with God? From God, for God, with God. Because I think if we're lacking in any one of those three areas, we might be missing some piece of relationship that God is calling us to. First of all, is it from God? Is this what God wants me to be doing? Are we listening to God? That's something that Mary was doing. She was listening to Jesus. She was at the feet of Jesus. We ask ourselves, is this something we're called to do with the gifts we have, with the choices we have available to us? Is this something God wants me to do? And is this the way God wants me to be doing it? These are not always easy questions to answer. In Lutheran theology, the whole concept of vocation has to do with what we are already doing. If we are parents, then we are called to be parents to the glory of God. If we choose to be a spouse, then we are called to live out that spouseness to the glory of God. If we have a particular occupation, we're called to do that to the glory of God. And if we do it to the glory of God, then it is a service to God. So our jobs, our hobbies, all those things can be from God and of service to God. Even being a parent. At baptism, we recognize that our children were a gift from God. And so we took on that responsibility as from God. And we entrusted our children back to God then. But there are also Martha-like lessons about work given to us from God, because God's choices for us do not just include labor and work and toil. We start thinking of our work from God as just a cross to bear, then maybe we also need to look at what else God wishes of us. And that is for us to be whole and to live in joy and peace. So, you know, Jesus said, I want you to have abundant life. So we have to ask, is this from God? We don't necessarily have to think all the hard stuff is just the hard stuff is from God, because God does want us to be whole and live in abundance and joy. If a service from God creates in us bitterness or resentment or hostility, then it's time to look for God for some relief, because those things are not from God. Is it from God? Is it for God? It's not just what we do that makes our work godly, unless we add the other two components, for and with. So here's a hypothetical question. If there was no one supervising your activities, no one at all, who knew what you were doing or looking over your shoulder, no one holding you accountable, no one with any expectations, no one whose opinion of your deeds and actions, no person ever judging you or offering praise for what you did. If you were accountable only to God, would you still be doing the same things you are doing today? If you were accountable only to God, would you still be doing the same things you are doing today? This is a big hypothetical because we all have some degree of needing other people around us, needing their approval, needing not to have them disapproving of us, but that question, is this for God, does go after that question of motive. Is it for God? Are we acting as an employee of the one that we call master? Is Jesus Lord? Is it an offering of thanks for what God has done for us? So we have, is it from God? Is it for God? The third leg is it with God? Remember Jonah? He was a prophet, and he worked for God. He had a vocation from God. But when he ran away, he sure wasn't working with God. Think about it. We all know what it's like to be working alongside of someone and working at cross purposes. It's like asking someone to open a jar for you and having them turn the lid the wrong way and inadvertently tighten it. Sometimes we work in ways that are not with God. We're working at cross purposes, and we wonder why we're stuck. We wonder why we're not getting anywhere. We wonder why we're not finding joy in what we're doing. We have to ask ourselves then, are we working with God, or are we working at cross purposes? My favorite recollection of working at cross purpose with someone was when my sister and I were in high school. And we were painting the outside of my brother's downtown business. And we needed to raise the extension ladder to get at a higher point in the wall. So we did. But we left a bucket of paint wired to one of the rungs of the ladder. And of course, as one side of the ladder goes up, the other side appears to come down. And so did a whole bucket of paint on my sister's head. That, my friends, is cross purpose. There's an old quote that says, most people wish to serve God, but in an advisory capacity only. Are we working with God? Are we asking God to work with us? How many times have you, you know, held up your hands and said, work with me, God? Or something similar? When, of course, the question needs to be, how can I work with you? How can I help you fulfill your purpose here? This question, I think, is especially pertinent to those of us like Martha who do serve the church, serve God, and maybe even wish to do more for God, but don't always take the time to stop and ask, is what I'm doing helping God accomplish what God wants to accomplish here? These are hard questions to ask ourselves. Easy to see the answers in other people, perhaps, and that others may be more than happy to point out which leg of the tripod we're a little short on. But the core and center of all of these questions is being rooted and grounded and standing on a firm foundation of the love of God that lies in the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's the good news. Only the Spirit of God can create in us the kind of love toward our Savior that overflows into compassion for others and a desire to seek out these higher questions. Is this from God? Is this for God? Is this with God? Is this of God's will? What was the better part that Mary chose? It wasn't just that she sat at Jesus' feet. Because God calls us to serve. Even our first lesson, as Abraham and Sarah were getting ready to entertain these guests, they were called to make some food, to show some hospitality. It wasn't that Martha was showing hospitality. It was that she was distracted. She was so busy doing that she forgot who she was doing it for and why. How much easier for us to go in peace and serve the Lord when our heart has been fed and filled along with Mary by the good news of Jesus Christ. From God, for God, with God. Jesus has done it all for us. Let the good news fill you. Soak in to you and feed you. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in the one who loves us so. Amen.